Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Patrick Mahomes, he's using his Super Bowl MVP platform to spread more positive messages. What impact does his voice have on how the league responds to social justice? Plus, several longtime starting quarterbacks, they've got new homes this season. Who will have the biggest impact on their team's success? Philip Rivers, he's got something to say about that coming up. And Boomer is back with his top 50 plays in NFL history. Who will make Boomer's vault today? Hint. Little hint here. Number 30 includes one of the best quarterbacks of all time. Hi, everybody. Welcome into NFL Live. I'm Diane Rossini. Damian Woody with us. Mike Tannenbaum. Jeff Darlington's going to join us in just a few minutes. I'm Diane Rossini. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel is also going to join the show in just a few minutes. But first, so we just mentioned there that Patrick Mahomes, he is the face of the NFL, and now he is using his platform to join in the Black Lives Matter movement. Yesterday, he was asked if he had any concerns to the negative reaction leading up to his statement on social injustice. He was very vocal about all this. And he was not very concerned when it came to participating in the video message to the league.
I feel like with every decision that you make, there's going to be positive and negatives. And that is the world that we live in today. But I believe in both my statement and the video that I made that stuff needed to be said. We needed to come together as a group, as players, and show that we believe that Black Lives Matter, and that we believe that this needs to be informed, and we need to be the role models to go out there and take that step. I've talked to Roger Goodell, and he has shown his support to us. I can't watch the entire George Floyd video through and through. I've watched it in parts, but it hurts me too much to my soul to see him and feel like I can't help. I can't do anything to help. The situation that happened, the horrible situation that happened where George Floyd got murdered. But to me, it just affected me knowing that I have people in my family who have been in and out of jail and that could have been put in that situation. And that's where it took me, is that could have been one of my family members, and that could have been someone that I cared about. And I know how much hurt that his family must be feeling, or I can't even understand it, honestly. So I felt like that was where I kind of came up with my statement of trying to unite and show love to everybody.
Pretty vulnerable and honest there. So, Damian, what was your reaction to Mahomes using his platform to try and really be a catalyst for change?
Well, listen, before, you know, the fact that he's a MVP of the National Football League, a Super Bowl champion, he is a Black man. And, you know, this is an issue that a lot of Black folks have dealt with in this country for a long time. And, you know, when the video dropped where all the players from Michael Thomas, Odell Beckham Jr., and obviously Patrick Mahomes were in the video, I said that it was going to force the league's hand, because it's one thing when you have skill position guys, but when you have a face of the league who is Patrick Mahomes, a guy, like I said, who has accomplished so much in such a short period of time in the National Football League, that matters. And, you know, kudos to Patrick Mahomes for coming out and being a part of the video, and kudos to Roger Goodell for, you know, responding to that and hopefully, you know, getting the momentum going to create some big change around the National Football League.
Yeah, Jason Reed wrote a great article. It's up on undefeated.com right now, just about how powerful and how impactful it was when people around the league saw that it was Patrick Mahomes in this video. They saw him. And then the comments and the reactions and statements came out from the league. So, Mike, let me ask you this then. We know that Mahomes is on the verge of becoming the richest player in the league. So what impact will Mahomes actually being out in front of the cause have on the league making and taking action here?
Yeah, Diana, I really agree with what Damian said, which is he is the face of the NFL for the next 10, 15 years. He's the best player. Like you said, he's going to be the highest paid player. He has an unbelievable platform to be truly transformational on the field, off the field. And when it comes to social injustice, he can really make changes that are hopefully sustainable. So when this new cycle invariably dies down, and we're talking about things like the NBA playoffs and all the return to play, that there are programs in place led by young stars like Patrick Mahomes that are sustainable and impactful. And he certainly has that opportunity. And I think it's also generational that these younger players grew up in social media. Maybe they're more comfortable doing these sorts of things. But Patrick Mahomes has such a great opportunity, and I thought it was a great start with the video that they put together about a week ago. I was encouraged by what Roger Goodell did. And again, hopefully what it leads to is changes and programs that, again, that are sustainable. So when we're talking about games this fall, these impacts, these changes are meaningful, and we see that the result of the work that started today pays off in the fall and into the future.
Yes, certainly. And they all seem to be coming across so authentic. And I think that's really why it's become so powerful, on top of the fact that they are all very, very good at social media there. So, guys, Colin Kaepernick, right? So he's really been back in the spotlight, as many players are hoping he gets another shot as a player in the league. While there haven't been any reports of any teams interested at this point right now, the players are all really starting to come out and speak in his support. Here's Richard Sherman on Roger Goodell not mentioning Kaepernick in his statement.
You know, that's the thing. The NFL is a PR machine, and they know how to construe the messaging to get their point across and to appease and pacify the public without overstepping what they consider their moral high ground and stepping off of that pedestal. And that's the unfortunate part. I don't know, you know, and that's a question that would be up to you asking Roger Goodell or these owners who haven't employed him. We don't employ people. You know, I can want him to have a job, and I can think he deserves a job as much as anybody. And everybody said it, you know, who said anything, because he was a good player. He showed he could play in this league. He could play at the highest level. So he deserves a job. But in order to answer those questions, I had to be one of the decision makers who didn't give him a job. And I'm not that person.
I believe, you know, that Colin deserves an opportunity and a chance. I played against him a number of times. He was always, you know, tough to go against, really competitive, beat us up in an NFC championship game, which hurt. But, you know, he was a great player. I hope he gets another opportunity. I think he deserves that. And I commend him for having the guts to do what he did 4 years ago and to create awareness for this, because it's certainly changed a lot in our sport. And I think it's changed a lot in all sports.
All right, we've got a lot to get into here, and we have a great panel. Jeff Darlington now joining us. But, Mike, I want to start with you, because you were actually in the Dolphins' front office when Kaepernick was looking for a job in the league. What were the conversations like surrounding him as an option when your quarterback at the time, Ryan Tannehill, was injured?
Yeah, well, in our situation, Diana, Ryan Tannehill got hurt late in the preseason. We signed Jay Cutler because he knew Adam Gase's offense, and we had a very small window of time to get ready for the season. So that's why we made that decision. But moving the story forward in terms of Colin Kaepernick now, look, he'll go through the same process as other players. If he's interested in playing, teams can bring him in, give him a physical, and sit down and say, you know, where are you? Where are you with what you want to do on the field, off the field? As most people know, players have a day off during the regular season to pursue other passions, be it a hobby, work on their degree, work in the community. So there are certainly a lot of players that do that, and he should be given every single opportunity, like any other free agent, be it Cam Newton, Jadeveon Clowney, and go through that same process, talk to ownership, talk to the GM, tell him where he is with things, and take a physical, maybe even have an on-field workout. And that would be the process that teams would embark on this summer if that's the road that we go down, where he's trying to get back with the team.
Yeah, but would you sign him this summer? Let's say he goes through all that. He does the workout. He does everything that we're going to see those other free agent quarterbacks go through. Would you, if you were a GM?
Yeah, absolutely, Diana. And again, I have over 20 years of, you want to be opportunistic in terms of, if you feel like there's a player that could help your team and you have a position of need, let's say a quarterback, obviously you can talk to somebody like Cam Newton who's out there. But sure, you're going to go through the process and you want to talk to him. And if he could help your team win and there's other things he wants to accomplish, like obviously working in the community, dealing with issues with social injustice, absolutely. Because again, you have limited pools of players to try to improve your team. So if you go through that process, and obviously there's a contract, can you work out the contract? So if all those boxes check out, absolutely.
What Mike is saying is interesting, though, because when we point out the individual aspects of Colin Kaepernick signing with the team, there's 32 teams, and it's not a knock on Mike at all, right? But every team generally winds up saying, well, we're more familiar with this player. He fits our offense better. And what ultimately happens with that, every year that Kaepernick is out of the league, the familiarity with a potential coach or a potential offense starts to diminish even more. So it makes it even tougher on Kaepernick and easier on teams to go a different direction. And I think that as we remove ourselves further and further from this situation, it's only going to get more complicated. It's only going to get easier for teams to simply dismiss the possibility, given all that comes with the potential of signing Colin Kaepernick. I'm not saying it's right, but I am saying that the further out it gets from this, teams will have more legitimate excuses to make every single time an opportunity arises.
Well, listen, I think that this is a perfect environment right now because clearly public sentiment is on his side. So, listen, Colin Kaepernick is, what, 31 years old? From a quarterback standpoint, that's still in the prime of his career. And he's been out of the league for 3 years. But, again, this is a guy who wants to be back in the league. He's passionate about, you know, social justice issues. And, again, I think what Mike is talking about is true. If the league gives him, you know, an opportunity as far as a workout and goes through the medical and everything checks out, again, I'm going to say this is the absolute perfect time to really sign Colin Kaepernick in this environment.
Yeah, the timing certainly seems like it's perfect in terms of him getting the momentum and getting that support. We had Howard Bryant on yesterday, and he's covered Kaepernick for years. And you know, he shared he's not really sure. He's not really able to gauge how much Kaepernick actually wants to come back. So we'll see if we'll get to that point. But, of course, before he signs with the team, he's got to go through that workout. So we'll see what happens this summer. Well, Rivers is among several tenured quarterbacks that are experiencing a change of scenery this offseason. Right. We got Brady. He became the first in NFL history to ever change teams after 20 seasons with one. Eli Manning, he retired after 16 years in New York, but Rivers will keep things going with the Colts next year. So here's Philip Rivers on criticisms last season and if he has anything to prove in Indy.
It doesn't bother me. I don't care. But at the same time, shoot, we're all human. And at times, I think what may have aggravated me a little bit last year was, you know, that I just couldn't play anymore. You know, when you heard that, it bothered me because I wanted to go, shoot, let's turn on the tape and watch all the good things. Yes, there were some bad plays last year. There were some certainly throws I want back and certainly some very costly, you know, mistakes. So I own up to all those. But I just think I knew there was so much good. And I had some throws last year that were probably as good as I've had in my whole career. But I don't feel like I have anything to prove. But I am excited, though, to go have a better season and go play better and help this team, you know, win a bunch of games and obviously try to accomplish our goals.
I know he's 38, but he sounds like he's 24 and new in the league. He sounds that excited. Well, we know things just they didn't go very well in his 16th season with the Chargers, right? They finished 5-11. But despite facing the fewest amounts of blitzes in his career, Rivers coughed up 20 interceptions with a total QBR of 49 that ranked 23rd in the league. So here we go. So, Mike, I want to start with you. Right. So we know Rivers and Tom Brady here are among several veteran quarterbacks who'll play for the new teams this season. So how concerned are you here about them learning these offenses and developing chemistry with these very short off seasons, these strange times with their new teams?
Yeah, it's a really fair point. Now, Philip Rivers has a long relationship with Frank Reich, and there's clearly that's one of the reasons he signed there. Tom Brady was actually one of the few quarterbacks that signed with another team that didn't have any association with Bruce Arians. But as it relates to the Colts, I think they're going to have a good season. But one thing we got to be concerned about is of the 20 interceptions that he had, Diana, 12 of them came from a clean pocket. So that's a concern if I'm a Colt fan. Now, they added two really good, strong offensive skill players in Jonathan Taylor, running back from Wisconsin, Michael Pittman from USC. They are tough players. They fit that mold. But I still think it's going to be uphill for them to make the playoffs. Defensively, they added DeForest Buckner, but their secondary has some questions. Can Xavier Rhodes bounce back? I think this team is going to be competitive. I think they'll have a winning record, but at the end of the day, I think it's going to be hard for them to make the playoffs.
Yeah. All right, guys, I need you to help me out here. I need you to pick up your whiteboards, get your little pens, markers ready. I want to focus on the three quarterbacks we expect that expect to start with their new teams, right? So, Jeff, let's start with you there. What are the Bucks this season with Tom Brady? Give me a record here and maybe a good argument as to why, please.
I did some math, actually, Diana.
Not always a good thing.
Yeah, I got some math here. I'm not a very good math mathematician. But what you do here is you look at this. And what you're going to see here is you're going to see TB12. You're going to see with the Bucks, that's going to equal a 12-4 record. Oh, I messed that up. Super Bowl.
Oh, my goodness. You got that. Yeah, one more there, buddy.
For Tom Brady. What do you think of that? Tampa Bay. The Bucks playing in Tampa for the Super Bowl. Tom Brady getting it 7-12-win season is what really, I guess, where this matters. If they get into the dance, though, it's all over, baby. The Bucks are going all the way.
Look, we know they got all these weapons, Jeff, but you're talking about a brand new offense. This is a quarterback who was in New England for 20 years who did same thing. They don't have the best offensive line. How many times did Jameis Winston get hit last year? How are you going to keep Tom Brady upright? So what's your argument there? How is he going to make these adjustments?
You're going to do it. Okay. First of all, the very reason that the Bucks, what they saw in Tom Brady very early on was the idea of getting a veteran who can get the ball out as fast as Tom Brady does, faster than most in NFL history have done so. Not quite as fast as the great Dan Marino, but we're still talking about a guy who can compensate for the offensive line, make sure he gets the ball out fast enough. And by the way, the offensive line, I think, will be a little bit better off once they're fully healthy. I think this was a team on the rise anyway. And you and I both know Bruce Arians, if need be, will have Tom Brady take a 12-step drop to make sure he is properly protected. Bruce Arians will do whatever it takes, whenever it takes. And that is why this, Diana, is a Super Bowl fit.
Yeah, they say it's a Bruce Arians offense with an influence of Tom Brady, but I have a feeling it's going to turn more into just Tom Brady's offense as the season goes. So we will see. All right, so you stuck your neck out there a little bit. I think a lot of people are kind of in that same space that you're in, Jeff. So, Mike, what about you? The Colts with Phillip Rivers this year, are they any better?
Yeah, I don't have a whiteboard like Jeff. I have a white pad. I'm going to go 9-7 here, not as optimistic as my friend Jeff, who lives down the road. I think, again, they're going to be better in Indianapolis. But, again, the concern with Phillip Rivers is you don't get better as you get older in terms of dealing with these turnovers at this point in his career. And of those 20 turnovers, as we talked about, over half of them, he wasn't under any sort of duress. So that's a big concern. And I think Tennessee, they went to the AFC Championship a year ago. They got Ryan Tannehill coming back. They're the better team. So I like Indy. I love what Chris Ballard and Frank Reich are doing. But at the end of the day, I think they're on the outside looking in terms of making the playoffs.
All right, Mike, you guys want to flex that you live in Florida? I'm going to flex that Damian and I live in New Jersey. So, Damian, you're up. What are the Panthers with Teddy Bridgewater in 2020, my friend?
That is a good flex.
Ah, Jersey stand up right
Let's
now.
Go.
But I'm gonna go rebuild.
Dirty Jersey.
6-10.
Dirty Jersey.
Yeah, Dirty Jersey, baby. Listen, we know that Matt Rhule is his third reclamation project going on, you know, from Temple to Baylor, now with the Carolina Panthers. Teddy Bridgewater is the new quarterback, but when you talk about the Carolina Panthers, they had one of the worst defenses in the National Football League last year. And they literally used their entire draft on the defense. That's how big of a sense of urgency that the Panthers have as far as fixing that defense. They added Robbie Anderson at wide receiver position, but when you look at the NFC South, I mean, you got the New Orleans Saints who's going to be contending for a Super Bowl. I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be right there in the mix. And then you got the Atlanta Falcons with Matt Ryan and that whole cast of characters on offense, and they're going to be high-powered. So I think it's going to be uphill sledding for the Carolina Panthers this year.
Oh, for sure. Anytime, any team that has a new head coach right now dealing with this consolidated offseason program here, everything is just strange and different. We know training camp isn't going to look like it has in the past. So all these are going to be challenging. And guys, you know, speaking of that, this Monday, the NFLPA is actually going to have a conference call with agents to start discussing the return to work protocols. Rob Domofsky reported that news. So, the discussions just continue as we try to figure out how we're going to get back to normal. Redskins quarterback Dwayne Haskins is among one of the latest quarterbacks in the league who's now taken action on social injustice. Haskins establishing himself really as a leader on this team, attended peaceful protests in Washington, D.C. over the weekend. Here's the quarterback on his decision to go to D.C. and participate in these protests.
The decision to go to D.C. was more so just I feel like everybody in this day and age likes to just talk. I just wanted to be about action. I wanted to go down there and be a part of the difference. And it's my first protest ever, so I never thought I'd be able to actually go to a protest, especially in this day and age. So it was just crazy to be there. I get pulled over sometimes, and I'm scared because, you know, I get questioned. You get pulled over, and you ask, are you selling drugs? You got something in the car you need to worry about? And, you know, play quarterback for a football team in the NFL, you would think that you wouldn't get asked those type of questions. But is this the world we live in? There's bad cops or good cops, but, you know, I always taught from a young age to do what a cop asks you to do. Don't ever go back and forth with what he has to say. Just get in and get it out, just because you don't want anything to happen to you. So if anything is evident every day with the body cameras and the killings of people, is just, you know, you never know when it's going to be your last breath. So you always got to be prepared for everything.
Quite revealing there, coming from Dwayne Haskins. So, Damian, what's your reaction when you hear him be really very, very honest about how he lives his life?
Well, there's a lot of truth to what he's saying, Diana. I mean, you know, whether it be myself or, you know, other colleagues within our network, or Louis Riddick or Booger McFarlane, there's guys who've had similar, you know, situations, similar stories that Dwayne Haskins told. A lot of you know, black men and women feel unease when, you know, pulled over by cops because of fear of what could possibly happen. And the fact of what he said about, you know, just kind of sticking, you know, following orders and making sure you do everything you can to just get yourself out of the situation, that just rings true to me. So, listen, I understand exactly where Dwayne Haskins is coming from, and I'm glad that he's, you know, putting himself out there and being part of the protest to, you know, to exact change in this nation right now.
Well, I can tell you can certainly relate to it, as you just said that very honestly. But I think there's still a lot of people here who have found out over the last few weeks how absolutely real this experiences have been for you over the last few years, you know, at least most of your life. Let's talk about another quarterback. All right. So we know Drew Brees was all over the headlines all of last week, mostly because of the Twitter exchange between him and President Trump after Drew had apologized for those original comments about that protesting, about disrespecting the flags. Well, remember, Trump went back out there and he tweeted, I'm a big fan of Drew Brees. I think he's truly one of the greatest quarterbacks, but he should not have taken back his original stance on honoring our magnificent flag. Old Glory is to be revered, cherished, and flown high. Well, then Brees went back on Twitter and he replied back to the president, saying to Donald Trump, through my ongoing conversations with friends, teammates, and leaders in the black community, I realize this is not an issue about the American flag. It has never been. We can no longer use the flag to turn people away or distract them from the real issues that face our black communities. Well, Spike Lee was on First Take earlier today on supporting Drew Brees' actions here.
It was a great, great, great Zoom call. Coach Peyton introduced me. Malcolm Jenkins was on the line. Drew was on the line. Everybody, it was just like I was telling what I feel. And it was all love. And I commended Drew for not backing down. And I think Drew must be commended for that. Because this was the president of the United States of America trying to make him bend towards wrong. And Drew did not do that.
He didn't do that, but he certainly has been having tons of conversations. The Saints have met multiple times. They have these guest speakers coming in. So, Mike, I want to go with you, our resident GM. We see a coach like Sean Payton bringing in someone like Spike Lee to address his team. What's the key to making sure that his team is able to stick together, move past this, and put action behind their words?
Yeah, I think it was a great idea by Coach Payton. And really, this is a great opportunity. This is what we're talking about, like programs and speakers like Spike Lee coming in and addressing Sean Payton's team. And hopefully, again, they're learning, they're being educated. And Drew Brees, Malcolm James, the state leadership, they're establishing programs in the Saint, within the Saint organization for the community. So when the season is going on, there could be a number of initiatives that are ongoing. And when we look back at this time, hopefully the legacy we see is that were meaningful programs that started. And we look back at now and say, wow, this was a great opportunity. And because of it, we have great legacy programs that are making a meaningful difference in the community.
Yeah, Mike, I feel like every team, every year, when we talk about championship teams, they always have like a moment. There's always this moment in a year, generally inside the season, when all of a sudden that team comes together in a way that that they otherwise might not. And a lot of times it's a result of some sort of adversity. It is a very unique circumstance that the Saints are essentially going through this in the offseason at a time when they can't even really physically be together. And it feels to me like Sean Payton's leadership is helping make the most of it. It feels like Drew Brees' leadership, Malcolm Jenkins' leadership, it feels Cameron Jordan, it feels like these guys are doing what would otherwise be necessary during the season. And of course, this is bigger than football. I understand that. But just from a team perspective, I think that this is a moment that could ultimately wind up defining what the 2020 Saints are. And I think that Sean Payton is making exactly the right moves to put them in a situation where in fact, this team comes together rather than ripping apart.
You know, I think the Saints, as far as their organization and locker room, they had a defining moment last week. You know, when Drew Brees made that initial statement and all the backlash, that was a defining moment. We saw the kind of the anger from all the different voices within that locker room. But the fact that they bonded together and trying to keep things in house and educate people within the building, I got to give a lot of credit to Drew Brees in this particular situation for what we've been saying for a long time, which is, okay, listen to what is being said by not only, you know, members in the locker room, but just people in general. Black people in general have been voicing for ages. And it seems like the message has been resonating with Drew Brees and obviously with the, you know, the message to the, you know, to the president. And I think it could absolutely pay dividends for that New Orleans Saints organization this year.
Yeah, and guys, we've seen this team deal with challenges. We've seen them deal with big losses in the playoffs. But I think, if anything, we always talk about how are they going to get over the hump. This could be something, as Jeff pointed out, that could actually help move them forward as a team and keeping them together, despite, I think, so many people wanting to see them fall apart.
Is your money not sure what to do with itself right now? At Ally, they'll help it save for the future with their smart savings tools. Bucket your money for the things that matter most. Analyze your spending and save automatically. All on top of a competitive rate. For all things money, you deserve an Ally. Visit ally.com/savings for more info. Ally, do it right. Ally Bank, member FDIC.
Earlier this month, with Tom Brady and Carson Wentz among the white players speaking out in the aftermath of George Floyd's death, Richard Sherman told MMQB's Albert Breer this. He said, "I'm impressed with the white quarterbacks speaking up because those are voices that carry different weight from the black voices for some people, which means the people who refuse to listen to a black athlete's perspective will hear the same thing said from a white athlete, but receive the message much differently. So it's awesome that more people are speaking out, because in sports, you really have a love and appreciation for your fellow man, regardless of race." Well, Rams quarterback Jared Goff weighed in.
As a white person, as a white athlete, you know, you have an idea it's happening, but it truly doesn't hit you the way it does until something like this happens. And I think for us to be able to speak out and to make a stand, it can change things, and it's important.
But there's so many layers to it, and I think that just this push was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, right? I mean, it's been happening for far too long, and finally got to the point where enough is enough.
Well, powerful and thoughtful words from Tennessee starter Ryan Tannehill there. His coach, Mike Vrabel, joins us right now. Mike, a very powerful educational movement. It's going on right now before our eyes. Will your players, though, take a knee in protest during the national anthem this upcoming season?
Well, I think the first thing I want to say is that being a coach and a player in the National Football League has provided us all a powerful platform that is a huge responsibility to promote change positively. I'm honored to be a part of that group of people. What the pregame process looked like for the games, I don't know. I don't know what that looks like, but I know we need to focus on what we can do now as we lead up to that to continue to promote change. And I will say that our players have been told and understand that we will have their support. They have our support as they work through making that change.
You know, your players have been sharing with the media over these Zoom calls that you guys had really passionate team meetings. You yourself, you released that statement last week. And Mike, what really stood out to me was that you acknowledged your own blind spot. So here we are now. Are the Tennessee Titans a different team today than they were 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely we are. I think we're more transparent. I think we're more understanding. I think we're better listeners. Those comments were feelings after having two great days of conversation with our players and continue to have conversations that those were things that I felt after coming out of those meetings. And the majority of our players have much different experiences than I will ever have had. And I need to have listened and continue to listen and understand when they talk about fear and numbness and the anxiety that they've had and they've witnessed. And I have to be able to continue to learn and understand what that looks like from their perspective.
Yeah, one of the things your players are saying is we're doing a lot of talking, but we want to start turning this into some action. So speaking of action, let's talk a little football here. So we know that you signed Ryan Tannehill to this long-term deal. But here's the thing, Coach. If I told you 4 years ago that you're going to be a head coach of a team, that your former teammate Tom Brady was going to no longer be with the Patriots, that he was an available quarterback on the market, but you chose Ryan Tannehill, what do you think you would be saying to me?
I'll probably be wondering that Tom Brady still played in the National Football League. I mean, he's probably the same age as I am. He's probably a year younger. But Ryan came in when we traded for Ryan, when John, you know, made that move to go get him. He came into a difficult spot. He was a starter that was coming in to be a backup, and that was his role initially, and that role did change. And when it did change, he came in and continued to improve, played fantastic for us, earned the trust and respect of the coaches and most importantly, the players. And he'll continue to get better. He has continued to grow within our offense through this virtual setting, and the relationship that he's building with our skilled players and our tight ends and receivers is something that I'm looking forward to when we can all get back here.
Well, we'll get back to Brady in a second, but we can't talk about your offense without talking about Derrick Henry, who was an absolute monster for you guys last season. As an organization, you guys franchise tagged him. The running back market in general right now is just really tough. But, you know, what is Derrick Henry going to have to do to get a long-term extension?
Well, right now we are trying to do that. And those things take time. Those negotiations take time. And again, negotiations are a two-way street. So that's always the things that happen. I can speak for where I'm at as the head football coach here, that Derek is a vital part of our offense, and his durability and his toughness and his leadership that he's continued to show and will continue to improve on. So that's where I'm at, and I know that we want to make Derek a part of the Tennessee Titans and long-term, and John and his staff are continuing to try to make that happen. And we just all have to be patient.
All right, I don't know if you know this, but Goff is officially back today. You talk a lot of trash about Tom Brady's game. I heard you on some podcast recently. I know you play a ton yourself. Sources tell me you're not great. But if you had to pick one Titan player to play with you in like a two-man scramble, which player are you picking?
So I probably think, you know, Kenny Vaccaro went back to Austin. And he has told us in these meetings how good he's getting at golf, and he's not playing as much video games anymore. He's getting better at golf. So I would probably say I'd go with Kenny. And then I definitely would make sure that Taylor, Lawan, and Ben Jones were driving the beer cart.
I feel like that's a perfect role for them. Coach, it's been a tense few weeks. We've had so much to deal with COVID and this movement we're seeing now. And we know that training camp is a bit unknown. So we really appreciate you taking the time today to join us here on NFL Live.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys.
Work on that golf game. Boomer's countdown of the top 50 plays in NFL history continues as he picks it up with number 32. Boom.
As we continue to look at our top 50 plays of all time, many of these you remember, but there are some, as time goes on, you might not recall, like the one you're about to see from the Saints against the Jaguars. Play 32, December 21st, 2003. The Saints trailing at Jacksonville 20-13. Tommy and I on primetime.
Pay attention.
7 seconds left. They're down by seven. Brooks to Dante Stallworth. There's two tackles. Keeps the play alive and gets inside the 35. Ooh, it's close to a forward lateral, but it's to Michael Lewis, the beer man. And then he flips to Deuce McAllister. And one of the tougher throws. Deuce! It's to Jerome Payton. Brooks with a block. Are you kidding me? It's a touchdown! A touchdown on the last play of the game! Unbelievable, Tom!
This is one of the greatest plays in NFL history. You will not see a better play no matter how much you study NFL film.
Jim Haslett, Saints, pulled the improbable. All they needed to do was kick the extra point to send it into overtime. Alas, it missed. Play number 31, Philadelphia at Dallas, Monday Night Football 2004. Donovan McNabb from his own 23 evades the Cowboys' rush. Now goes backward, almost 15 yards. They've got him hemmed in. Cuts across the field. Gets a block. Looking downfield and the heave. Freddie Mitchell, 60-yard completion.
That is amazing. That is Donovan McNabb. That's what a quarterback who is a basketball player can do. That's what a quarterback that has great strength can do. That's what a quarterback that always keeps every play alive can do.
John Madden, perfect description of a maddening play, certainly for the Cowboys. The Eagles won big. Play 30, 1968 AFL Championship Game. Joe, Willie, Namath. New York Jets trailing the Oakland Raiders 23-20. Namath knives this pass through the frigid air to Don Maynard down to the six. Beats George Atkinson. That the Jets still trail. Namath gets the block from Matt Snell. His fourth intended receiver was made at a touchdown. They win the AFL title. And 2 weeks later, indeed, the New York Jets would be number one, shocking the Colts in Super Bowl III in the Orange Bowl. That greatest upset in pro football history, the Jets winning Super Bowl III, never would have happened had Namath and the Gotham Green not upended the defending AFL champ Oakland Raiders 2 weeks before. You know what? Some things are etched in your mind a long time. I remember that one because I was there.
Yeah, and you certainly were there for Aaron Rodgers' Hail Marys. That was part of Boomer's Countdown yesterday. We saw those highlights, and they were great. Well, today, Rodgers perhaps auditioning for a future television role. Watch this.
Now on the first tee, please welcome a man usually seen donning a mustache that allows his friends to make fun of him endlessly, his wife to give him the cold shoulder at nighttime, and his best friend and dog, Scotty, to refuse a walk. A one-time winner on the PGA Tour, avid amateur Scrabble player, occasional podcaster, and all-time Twitter troll. From Valencia, California, Max Homa.
All right, so Max Homa is golfing in the Charles Schwab Challenges this week in Fort Worth, Texas. So I thought it was pretty creative, the PGA, to bring in Aaron Rodgers. So, Damian, are you worried here? Does Rodgers have a future?
No, listen, he doesn't have enough personality in that right there, but I can tell you one thing, his beard is glorious. I love that. I need more of that. I need more of the beard, man. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he should just stick with that.
I don't know if the chin strap's going to get under the beard. I don't know if we can get all the way around.
I think those beards could just be like scarves. NFL Live, that'll do it for the day. The Jump, next. Thanks, guys.